way to the cross, and you will see that not only does the Bible tell you that he loves you, but the cross proves it positively. God loves you. So if you don't understand what's happening to you at the moment, don't forget that all of his ways are shaped by his love. He's alive when he's allowing because he loves you. Do you understand that? You need to understand that. That even when bad things are happening to you, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. He loves you even when those things. We see the principle of love and suffering operating in the life of Jesus. Three times in the Gospels, the heavens opened and the Father said, "You are my beloved Son." There's no doubt that the Father loved the Son. And yet he offered him up to be the Savior on the cross. The principle of love and suffering are side by side in the Scriptures. So you ought not to be surprised that even if you are specially loved by Jesus, if sometimes he allows you to suffer. All of his ways are shaped by his love. But also, his ways people not only have a problem with the ways of Jesus, what do you like? They have a problem with the words of Jesus. Some people have a problem with the works of Jesus, the way that he works things out, how he responds to different situations. Very interesting to read this story. And I want you to go home and read the rest of it. I only read up until the time that Lazarus had died. The best part of the story is in the second part, when he comes back to life. I'm not going to read it now, but I want you to notice, he goes to where they're at. He joins them in their emotion and then leads them to where he is at. He takes them on a journey from where they are. He joins them there to where he is at. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And one translation, if you've got a copy of the Message Bible, you will see very clearly a good translation of this verse 33 is that he was angry and troubled. Jesus was angry. Now, I'm glad it says that Jesus responded to this situation with the emotion of anger. What was Jesus angry at? Was he angry at the sin that leads to death? For death is the wages of sin. Was he angry at the sickness and the havoc it causes in people's lives and families? Was he angry at all the unbelief that was all around him? The people were all wailing as though there was no hope? Maybe all of these things. We're not told. We're simply told he was angry. That's interesting. Because if you have ever been in a hard place, you sometimes respond by being angry. And angry with God. Haven't you? Profound anger in the face of bereavement or bad news is a common experience. And when Jesus sees the suffering in the world, the atrocities in the world, he's still angry. When he sees what's happening in North Africa and in the Middle East, he's angry. I didn't know if you caught the news this morning. Muslims have burned a church down in Egypt this morning. He's not indifferent to what's happening in the world, to the injustices and the cruelties. He still gets angry, but always justly. When he sees child abuse, he's angry. And I want you to notice, he joins them in this situation where they're at. Some of them were angry, and he was angry with them because. But notice too, the shortest verse in the Bible is verse 35. What is it? Jesus wept. He grieved. He burst into tears. Have you felt grief like this? Isaiah, in writing his prophecy 800 years before Jesus was born, describes Jesus as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And when the people in the story this morning saw him weeping, they said in verse 36, "See how he loved him. He grieved with them." And so, if you cry, if you get upset over things that happen in the world, Jesus understands. He gets angry with you. He grieves with you, alongside you, I mean. But there is something that happens now that is outside of our experience. But yes, he understands our anger, he understands our grief in the face of these difficult circumstances. But Jesus is all-powerful. Faced with issues like this, we are powerless to change our circumstances or the circumstances of others, but not Jesus. He is unique. He does have power to change things. And so, in verse 38, he tells them to, and now the grave of Lazarus, that's a photograph I took. I've been to the very empty tomb of Lazarus. You can go in it as a visitor now when you go to Israel. That's a picture of the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus was standing outside. And there was a great stone outside. So he said to them, "I want you to move the stone." And so the people did what they could. And they moved the stone. And then he called out, "Lazarus,